VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live in the studio as we are every Saturday at this time. And we invite you all to stay with us for an hour if you can. If you are back as usual, being a regular, we appreciate it. That's what keeps us going. And if you're happening on the show or have been told about the show for the first time, try to stick with us. We try to be sure that every week there's something usable for everybody if you you just take the time to listen to it. Now, I remind everybody at this time that we are not like a lot of shows in that we are not pre-recorded. We are actually here. It is the 29th day of July, and it is 10:07. So if you want to talk about what you want to talk about, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-TALK. It's 904-222-8255, and we will immediately change the subject of the day. And we'll go on to what you would like to talk about. I remind others also that there are no stupid questions. There are only some questions that are easier than others. And the easier your question, the better we look. So you can always help us. Believe me, if there's something you don't know and would like to know, there are a lot of people out there listening who don't know the same thing and would love to know it. So you can help people as you help yourself and make the show always more interesting. Callers go to the head of the line no matter what. It's the first rule of the VanWee Financial Hour. So what are we going to do? We're going to tell you a little bit about what went on in the markets today, yesterday, day before. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's going on in the world. I've got a few things I want to talk about, given time, that are just sort of things that happen either in the national news or sometimes things that happen in the office that lead us to believe that there are a lot of subjects out there that people aren't that well versed about. I've got one of those for either today or next week. We'll see how that goes. And maybe a couple of personal notes. If you're lucky, maybe a rant. And what's on your mind today, Adam?
I actually have a pretty funny piece about student loans. And that's not usually something you hear funny in student loans, but
those don't normally occur in the same sentence.
It's one of those stories that just makes you realize that sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction.
Okay, I can't wait. Meanwhile, I very strongly considered changing the bumper music this morning for the opening to the theme from Jaws. Boom, 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 as the shark is getting closer. Mm-hmm. Can you figure out why?
Absolutely not. Why?
Oh, it's so obvious. Because this market is sneaking up on my prediction.
Yes. Hey,
I knew you'd get it.
Yep.
Earlier in the year, I predicted that sometime in the year 2017, the Dow Jones Industrial Average would cross 22,000. I didn't predict it would close there. I didn't predict it would stay there. I just said sometime in 2017, it will cross the 22,000 mark, and I think it can see it from here.
It is pretty close, 21,830.
At the close
on Friday. So, I mean, we are getting really close. I'm sure you're pretty happy about that.
Better than being right.
Especially when it's good news.
Yes, I'm not right yet.
Nope, not
but
yet.
But I'm sneaking up on it just like the big shark.
Yep, it was a different kind of week in the market this week than we've seen recently. It was a little strange. Monday and Tuesday were pretty good. We saw the market rise and some new all-time highs were set on the S&P. And then later in the week, midday on Thursday, I believe, the market just kind of tanked, and I looked everywhere for a reason, and I couldn't find one. Some people said it was tech earnings, but tech earnings have been really mixed. There's been some really good ones and some not so good ones.
I think it was a program selling pause.
It could be.
That's where people take profits because their computer says it's a good time to do it.
Right, and that's predetermined before the market actually gets there, so when it happens, it just triggers those selling programs.
And we've also not ruled out the possibility that the public who was pretty well set on finally we'll get something through Congress, once they saw the Senate in operation, threw up their hands in despair and went home, took their ball and went home.
Yeah, the John McCain show.
Yeah. You know, there are times when you just have to look at the greater good. I don't care how much principle you think you have, but when it gets personal, which it is with him,
very possibly,
then we have a problem, Houston. So we'll move on to something else that has very little to do with the market relative to the next issue, which is tax cuts for everybody.
Yay. I hope that gets passed soon.
If that gets
passed, the better.
My $22,000 is going to be a joke.
Yeah, we might be
It's too high either.
No, we'd probably be looking at substantially higher.
Yeah. Then we start thinking $25,000 if that goes through.
We shall see.
We shall indeed.
Yep. The Dow actually
don't build up your hopes, by the way.
No, not with this Congress.
No.
The Dow actually managed to gain this week about 250 points or 1.2%, but almost every other asset class fell this week. So it was really kind of strange. So the 30 stocks that make up the Dow on average rose, but everything else dropped. So the NASDAQ and the S&P were slightly negative, as were mid caps, small caps, and the broad market indexes.
However, that was just for the week. Lately, generally, more and more things, a broader and broader base is getting more valuable. And what it reminded me of this morning when I was reading up on the events of the week was in 2015. We had this discussion in the office the other day. If you go back and look at the statistics for 2015 in the market, you think, well, everybody made a lot of money.
No one made any money.
No, the truth was exactly opposite of that.
That's true. So this is kind of the opposite of 2015.
We're getting it
so
back.
Far. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, year to date, the Dow's up 10.5. It just passed the S&P this week, which is up 10.4, and the NASDAQ is up 18.4%. So not a bad year all in all. Even if we stopped today, it'd be a good year.
And if you look at those same numbers since the election, it gets even better.
So looking at sectors, energy actually led the week with a gain of over 2%. I haven't said that in a while. And healthcare was the biggest drag at negative 1.5. So kind of the opposite of what we've been seeing lately. But oil had a really nice midweek bounce, over 8% one day, I think. Another thing that was odd, Verizon and AT&T had good earnings reports, and they both popped over 5%, I think, on their earnings report day. And that has really been a struggling sector lately, the telecom sector. So that was nice to see as well.
If you're bargain hunting, it's always nice to have a place to look.
And I kind of mentioned it earlier, but technology has been the toughest one to figure out lately. Some names are just killing it, like Facebook had an excellent quarter again. And then Amazon missed on their earnings, so kind of a strange...
That's not hard when you don't make money.
Well, they have been making money lately, though.
They spend.
They do.
If there's ever been a classic case of reinvesting in your business, Amazon has to be the poster boy for it.
And then Twitter also came out with a pretty poor report this week. They had a big bump in some new subscribers last quarter, mostly due to President Trump using it. And then this quarter, they had zero new subscribers net. So
was that due to President Trump using it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. There's a bunch more to get to, but we're up on a break here pretty soon.
Yeah, so we'll resume talking about the market when we come back. And my trivia question, which is brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, is also on the market itself. Notably, it's on the bull market that has been raging since March of 2009. So we're going to be looking a little bit ahead in the trivia question. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about some oddities where... These days, words that used to mean things really don't mean that much anymore, or at least they don't mean the right thing. So stick around. It'll be a lot of fun. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this particular segment, we're going to give you a trivia question. Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And we use him, we like him, and you will too. And if you give him a call, you probably get Ken right on the other end of the line. Trivia question about the market. We've been in a raging, roaring bull market since March of 2009. How has August been? I'm asking that because it starts on Tuesday. How has August been during the bull market? We want to know within a half a point plus or minus of the average performance of the Dow in August over these last 8 years, or I guess seven of them have counted now. But anyway, no, it's eight have counted. This will be the ninth
eight,
one
because
it was 99. Right. So we want to know up or down and by how much. All right. So back to the market wrap. Some things happened and there were some very noteworthy things that happened, and we kind of were in, right in the middle of it because I talked so long in the beginning. So let's carry on.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on earnings season, kind of right in the middle of it right now. We've had over 1,000 companies report, and the earnings beat rate stands at 63.2. Pretty much it's in line with recent quarters. But the revenue beat rate is still pretty good. It's not as good as it was last week, but it's at 63%, which is basically what it was last quarter. And it's also higher than most recent quarters. So if we ended earnings season at 63%, I would call that a win.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. The best thing about this season has been the positive guidance that companies are giving. That hasn't happened in quite a while. More companies are giving positive guidance than negative by a pretty wide margin, and that hasn't been the case for the last 6 years. So that is good news. That means that not only are people bullish on the economy, but companies are as well. And when that happens, more people get hired, more people go to work, and ultimately that's what fuels the economy.
Yep, absolutely.
The economic data is back to being somewhat negative after taking a break from that trend last week. Out of the 24 indicators released this week, 14 missed and 7 exceeded. So almost a 2-to-1 ratio of bad to good. So that's not a great sign.
But as I have been complaining about for these last couple of weeks, those numbers are not compared to last year at this time or last month at this time. They're compared to these so-called economists, so-called estimates.
Well, I think they actually are economists that do this, not so-called.
If you can call yourself one, they might even have PhDs, at which time I would trust them even less. Because they probably work for the Fed, if that's the truth.
Well, they probably do.
Anyway, if you estimate, as they did this time, the GDP number at 2.7 and it comes out 2.6, 2.6 might be a fantastic number relative to the last, 9 years.
Yeah,
it's but it's a
pretty
miss.
Strong, yeah.
So be careful. I always like to remind people of what Marvin Gaye said.
What's that?
Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Okay.
And then you'll be a good contrarian like we are.
The one area that was kind of unusual was the housing indicators, which are they're quite volatile from month to month. So you just never know what you're going to get. But they're usually mixed. You usually get some are up, some are down. Mm-hmm. This week we had four misses. And that is very unusual. I think we're still in an uptrend for the sector, but it's not necessarily bad news as well, because the fact is we don't want to see 2006 and 2007 ever again.
In other words, no bubble developing.
Exactly. So I think that sometimes misses are indicative of a healthy market that is ebbing and flowing instead of just a meteoric rise like we saw back during the bubble. And we all know how that ended. So we don't want to get in that situation again.
Sure. If you were talking about the Dow or the S&P, you want to pull back once in a while.
Exactly.
You do not want a straight up or even a straight stair step pattern, which the S&P has been in.
For a long time.
It plateaus for a while, goes up, plateaus for a while. We haven't had that pull down. And I'm not saying August is going to bring it, but I'm saying it's coming.
Of
course. I just don't know when.
It's always coming.
But don't let it frighten you, folks. The economy itself is just fine, thank you. And next week is jobs numbers, by the way.
That's true. And that brings me to the real positive note that we saw this week was consumer sentiment. There were three reports surrounding that. They were all beats. So the workforce, I think it goes right back to people having jobs. The more people feel secure about their own income, the better off they feel about the economy in general. And go out and spend money, and that's what drives the economy.
It's been widely noted that the construction industry, particularly in the commercial end, has been lagging behind in this recovery. And it's not widely reported why that should be, but it's called capacity utilization. During the Great Recession, I hate using the term, but everybody knows what I talk about, so what the heck. During the Great Recession, a lot of businesses closed up, a lot of factories decreased production. In other words, there's pent-up demand that is not yet past the point that we used to be. So all this excess capacity that developed during the Great Recession is now slowly being used. And I've had a barometer that I used for the last, I don't know, 40 years probably, because we used to drive from Wisconsin to Florida and back, and frequently we'd go through the Peoria area, and I'd count empty spaces at the Caterpillar factory. So I call it the Caterpillar effect. When there were very few, times were good. When there were very many, times were bad. Well, the Caterpillar effect's been going on for something close to a year now. Their production is rising, and it's rising. Their shipments are rising around the world, including Latin America and South America, which means people are getting ready to start expanding the world's capacities. So you're going to see a year from now a lot different numbers in that arena than you are now. That is my today's prediction.
Yeah, and I think the United States is included in that. We should be starting to spend a really big amount of money on infrastructure here pretty soon.
Yeah, now imagine if they all get together and say, we're really going to do what Trump wants to do with the infrastructure. And I absolutely agree with some of what he said. You go to an airport in some foreign country, and it looks like a building that was built yesterday, and very often it was. And they're beautiful and spacious and modern. And then you go to an airport here, and what do you see? Not that great.
Depends what airport, but yeah, it's true.
It's not like going to the Bahamas and having to pick the weeds off the runway before the plane lands. They could use a lot of help around here. So if we're really going to do that, we've got bridges that are ready to fall down. Remember the Twin Cities not that long ago. All those things that we could be doing, and what we have to do is get the national will going. And I'm not saying we just arbitrarily tax and spend, but if they would let the private sector get into some of this stuff, and there was a good discussion on Fox this morning by nonetheless – Geraldo was actually making sense this morning. I know, put the big circle around the day on your calendar. But he was talking about letting private companies build these things and charge to use them, tunnels and that sort of thing, in certain areas where the government would reap the reward of having the infrastructure. The company itself would reap the reward of having built it and now getting paid back for it. And nobody has to raise taxes. I'm glad I was sitting down. That's all I can say. The day I agree with him is a strange day.
It's actually been a pretty long-term trend in the industry, and I think there are certain states that do it a lot more than others. Texas, I believe, is one of them. It's called a 3P public-private partnership, and what they do is basically you get a team together. So you have your construction company, and they team up with a bank or a financing arm, and they loan the money, build the project, and then over time, through tolling, they collect their money back with interest and profit. So it's a pretty good way to get things done when you don't want the government to have to front all the money.
On a local interest basis, that's how Nocatee became the beautiful place it is today. The public and the private sectors got together and they funded the infrastructure buildup. It works.
Yeah, that's a little bit different, but
charges the user, the user being the people who build and live there.
Yeah, and so the Nocatee residents pay it back in your taxes. Mm-hmm. It's called the CDD, and it lasts for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how long theirs is.
And all it really is a user fee so that the day you move in, you've got great infrastructure instead of having to wait for it.
Yeah, and they did a really nice job out there, too. I used to drive that road when it was two-lane, and it was scary.
It was very scary, especially around the time school got out.
Yeah, exactly.
But that kind of thing can be practiced on a very grand scale. And if you're familiar with Orlando, as you are, how do you get around Orlando when things are bad? You take the B-line.
Yeah, or the 417, the toll road that goes around the outside.
These things work. They work best when it's an alternative.
Yeah, they're actually putting a toll road on I-4 down the middle of it now, so that should be done in a quick 5 years or something.
Yeah, well, the way time's been flying lately, it actually will be a quick 5 years.
You never know.
Anyway, trivia question still out there. It is, during the years of this bull market since 2009, how has August performed in the stock market? We need the direction of the gain or loss, and we need the number within a half a point. And as always, there is a point at the end of my discussion. So we'll, if you don't get it, we'll tell you. But call us. Lines are open, 222-8255. We'll discuss anything you want to discuss.
And the trivia question is good for a $25 gift certificate, yes, to Angie's Grom, which is great restaurant out at the beach. So call and guess.
And when we come back, Adam's going to tell you a funny story. It has to do with student loans, and this one's just driving me crazy because that seems to be such an oxymoron. In fact, usually when you talk about student loans these days, you're talking about people in debt up to their ears, unable to find a job that'll let them pay it back, and on and on and on. They're kind of a miserable topic, so I'm glad to hear that there's a little humor coming into it today.
Well, I'll explain when we get there. But
I'm sure it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy of some sort. All right, we're going to take a little break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back shortly. We're talking about student loans and everything else. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape. Give Troy a call at 662-9794 and he'll help you with those overgrown problems that we all seem to be suffering from. Now, here in the studio on my right is a big old computer screen, and Windows people are well aware of the color blue, and it says, we're doing updates, and we're 10% done. By next week, it'll be done, but in the interim, we have a call. Oops, did it wrong, sorry.
Technical difficulties.
All right. Sorry about the little confusion. The computer apparently blipped an hour or so ago, and we no longer are able to see exactly what's happening because it's doing a big update. Anyway, may I ask your name and your topic?
This is frequent caller George.
Hey, George, how are you?
I call a lot of talk radio.
I think I heard you in the last hour.
Yeah. The point I was getting to there was something the buyer can push to the seller as far as cost, but then things that are out of the normal but very important, you should put it into your mortgage. You know, add some money into the mortgage, mm-hmm, at the sale, and so that you can go ahead and do the additional renovations in the house. But I walked a neighborhood, talked to people at two different polls during the last election, and the total was about 180 people. The younger people were very concerned about paying for college or tech school or their debt, which they'd already incurred, and the older people were concerned about retirement and health care. And I've been pushing for I don't know, 15 years here, but longer than that here, the school boards to put every child through commercial or technical school first. Then they don't have to take out as many loans or as much loan to get their college degree because they can work their way through school. But they still should really consider an education savings account, which you guys have talked about.
Of course, yeah.
And I wanted to point out something about health care just in general. There are two points. One is we've lost a lot of doctors and nurses because they just have had enough of the paperwork and the aggravation. And that's starting to turn around a bit, but we still need a lot of them. And frankly, the health maintenance organizations should switch over to being more hospital-oriented and doctors in a box and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, instead of doing health care for $10,000 to $38,000, $38,000 if you have a small business, you're a single proprietor and all of that in certain states, you can do health care for about $2,000 a year. And I've looked into this. I know some people are doing it, and here's what happens. Dental, Physician Mutual, and some other companies, $49 a month.
Yeah, Sean Hannity's been interviewing a guy for well over a year who does exactly that somewhere in the Midwest.
Right, and then also the Christian Healthcare, which is MediShare, someone who's just approaching 40 where the healthcare costs go up, it's about $100-$140 a month, but it's a $10,000 deductible. Now, how do you deal with that in the free market environment? Well, you need to start a health savings account with your children at birth.
Yep, I agree.
And if you do those things, that will give you a return. By the time you're 40, I think it was rough calculation, $260,000. And just the gain in the markets on that money will pay for all of your health care, and you'll still be able to save a little more as your health care costs increase.
You know, from listening to me for years, that I'm a big advocate of that.
Absolutely. Now, the problem is we need to get the people in Congress to believe it. Trump mentioned health care savings accounts, but he's been beaten up pretty badly about it. And then Ron Paul has mentioned them, and Orrin Hatch has been an advocate for decades of this in his Committee on Pensions and Social Security.
You know how we could sell that idea, George?
How?
Tell the truth about it. It was Ted Kennedy's idea.
Absolutely. It goes back to a coalition between Democrats and Republicans.
Yes.
Not the silliness they're doing now.
Do it for Ted, I say.
There are solutions to most of our problems that are fairly easy, like health savings accounts shouldn't be confiscated at the end of the year. There's certain ones I believe you know more about this than I do. Certain ones are confiscated at the end of the year, and we need to work on those issues and just put a few lines here and there in bills, and we could get out of this mess we're in now.
It goes to the same old things almost any economic thing does. You push it down to the lowest level, you create individual responsibility, and for that you're rewarded with a little tax break, or if you don't need that money, you're rewarded by, at 65, it converts to another IRA, and yet
right.
Along the way,
IRA,
it can save
you. You'd be able to pass it on to your children.
You can die with it, yep, and it's part of your legacy. There's no problem that I've ever discovered with this concept. That's why they had to limit it at first, because everybody was going to do it, and then they'd find out how good an idea it was, and then everybody else is out of the business.
Well, the one limitation is you don't want to put too much money into the markets. It's kind of loaded right now. You want to, if you can control anything like interest rates, we'll control the return on investment average for the markets, saying that if it's dropping below 7.5 or something, back off on the amount of money we put in. But you can also put money in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, minerals. Oh, wait a minute. Hillary Clinton sold a lot of those off.
Sure.
And I think recreation will be a growth industry after Trump gets things really moving with his higher-paying jobs in industry.
It already is.
Consumer
discretionary.
That money will float down through the system. It's the way to do things.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I appreciate it, George. You want to take a shot at our trivia question?
Oh, no, I'm not good at that. I'm away from the computer by crutch on those, but I'm sure some other people probably know the answer. They'll give you a call.
All right, George, I appreciate it. You know, I'm a really, really big fan of that whole concept, and I do want it to be an integral part of whatever solution we all come up with eventually. So I appreciate it. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too.
One thing about millennials that I just discovered that kind of gives me hope for the future, about 82% of millennials are contributing to their 401k plans compared to 77% of Gen X and 75% of baby boomers.
Good for them.
Actually better than we are.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. What do you know about student loans that we might get a chuckle out of?
All right. So you just can't make this stuff up. In January of this year, in news that surprised almost nobody, the CFPB, or Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, who we really don't love.
A bunch of socialists.
They are part of the federal government, and along with the Illinois and Washington Attorneys General, sued Navient, the nation's largest provider of student loan servicing. Now, Navient, if you haven't heard of them, was spun off of the federal government entity Sallie Mae in 2014. The plans for this were announced in 2013, but it wasn't completed until the following year. Navient is now a publicly traded company that trades under the ticker symbol NAVI. So just to recap, the CFPB is suing, along with the Attorney General in two states, Navient, for, several reasons, actually. They say that they created obstacles to repayment by providing bad information. They processed payments incorrectly. They failed to act when borrowers complained. They illegally cheated many struggling borrowers out of their rights to lower payments, which caused them to overpay for their student loans. They deceived private student loan borrowers about requirements to release their cosigner from the loan, and they harmed the credit of disabled borrowers, including severely injured veterans. Now, that all sounds pretty nefarious, right?
Oh, it does.
So the other thing that I think is my favorite is that in the lawsuit, they allege that all this has been going on since January of 2010. Now, if you remember, up until 2014, this was a part of the same federal government that is currently suing Navient, which is now a private company. So you don't think that maybe somebody saw this coming back in, say, 2012 and said, we need to do something about this, and decided to spin off Navient as a private company so that then they could go and sue them for all the wrongdoing that they've been doing since 2010, and it wouldn't fall on the federal government?
Well, what occurs to me there is they had to deepen someone's pockets before they could fleece
them. Exactly. It's unbelievable.
No, it's not.
Well, yeah, except that it is.
It is unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up. I'm going to tell you right after the next little break that there's a lot of things you can't make up, and I got a bunch of them coming up. And then... I'm very seldom speechless.
Yeah, and in other shocking news, now there's going to be a further litigation. There's a company that's filing a class action suit against Navient. So,
okay, well, we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Lines are open. 222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. So give us a call and we'll talk about what you want to. But meanwhile, a quick word on what Adam was talking about with the Navient, the servicer of student loans. I said something like, what were those states again? Washington and who? Illinois.
It was Illinois.
Imagine Illinois trying to drum up a source of revenue.
It's shocking.
Yeah. They're just a little ways short of balancing their budget, I guess. That is going to be a test case for what you do when a state goes under. The phone is ringing, so I'm going to wait a second and see what's going on because, as you know, my computer won't tell me. But I'm going to talk about the apparent fact that words no longer mean things as they used to. So what we do about that, I'm not really sure. But first, because it's the rules, callers first. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's calling, please? I don't have the ability to know.
This is Rick Feninoff.
Hey, Rick. It's our...
What's going on? Hey, that new Brandon Field Chafee toll road out there is owned by a Mexican company.
No kidding. Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Huh. Who'd have thought? There's a big sign up saying the DOT structure and some Mexican company is going to be collecting the tolls.
Interesting.
Okay.
It's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought you'd be interested.
Can't make this stuff up. Earlier.
Yeah, I hear that.
So what's on your mind?
I just called to let you know that.
Yeah, okay.
We talked about it earlier in the show.
Yep.
Might as well take a shot at our trivia question then, Rick.
What is the trivia question?
It's in August, since the beginning of the bull market in 2009, how much is the market up or down on average for the month of August?
In other words, has it been a good month or a bad month for
exactly.
The market?
It's been a It's been a bad month.
By how much?
2%.
You nailed it.
We have a winner.
Yeah, nice job.
Nice job. It was actually, the average is -1.69, and we wanted it within a half a point up or down, so the high limit we would have taken was -2.19, low limit -1.19. So 2% qualifies as long as you got the negative sign, and you are the winner. That's
well, drop the $1 million I want into my account.
We'll do that, and we'll credit it to your account tomorrow morning, and then tomorrow night we'll take it back.
Okay.
If we
know where to send it. Not a problem.
All right.
Thanks, Rick. See you later.
All right. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
That's great. Words really don't mean what they used to. You know, if you think about it, you listen to it. Sometimes it's on the media. Sometimes it's political. There are many things that bring it out. But the meaning of words as we grew up with them are often being kind of lost or blended in. I guess the bottom line is a lot of people expect that if you mix up a couple of words over and over enough, you kind of obscure their meaning. And by obscuring their meaning, you can obscure the truth. Some common examples. Income and wealth. They're vastly different, but they're often blended into the concept that's called the rich. This will help a clever politician, who's probably wealthy, by the way, it will help that politician agree to, quote, tax the rich, because what he's doing is really taxing the high-income people. He is not, by definition, a high-income person, at least not if that's his only job or her only job, but it plays well. So you could be worth $50 million, Nancy Pelosi, with an income of $170,000, and taxing the rich doesn't hurt you very much, because actually you're only taxing the income, not the wealth. The wealth stays right there. So tax the rich has become a meaningless phrase, unless you were to allow the term tax the wealthy, and they will never say that. How about debt and deficit? Entirely different concepts, but they are related in one respect. If you accumulate a bunch of deficits, you get a rising debt. But by interchanging the words constantly, they can introduce a bill that will, quote, reduce the deficit. So it sounds like we're going to be less in debt because people don't understand that there's a difference. But the truth is, your debt is going to rise anyway. So you have to understand that every proposal that's out there that doesn't say balance the budget actually still increases our debt. How about we move along to health care and health insurance? What do you hear all the time? Health care. Millions of people are going to lose their health care. No, they're not. No one can show up at an emergency room bleeding or really sick and be turned away. In fact, I remember, I think it was in the 90s, when that actually happened in Jacksonville. And that emergency room took a big fine immediately for trying to turn somebody away. It is absolutely mandatory that if you show up, you shall be treated. You do not lose your health care. Now, let's talk about health insurance. That only means who's going to pay for it. They don't ask you if you're insured, if you're bleeding when you get in there. Now, if you're not bleeding when you get in there, you're darn right they're going to ask you. But there is a difference between being insured and losing care. How about the term liberal? They like to say now they're progressives. Now, a liberal, being a pejorative nowadays, at least seems that way to me, what about those people back in 1776 who decided that taxation without representation was not a good idea? The liberal viewpoint was we should break away and become our own people. A lot of people didn't like that. I don't know how many people know this, but it was a minority view back then that we should break away from England. Now, let's talk about a progressive. You know who was a progressive? Herbert Hoover. He wanted a lot of things in small government. He was progressive in reforming things. But look how he is vilified throughout history now. He was the Republican, of course, that lost to the Democrat named Roosevelt. because we had all those bad years. No one ever talks about the 8 years after Herbert Hoover. Those were recession years. What Roosevelt did not help us get out of the Great Depression. Hoover was actually right, but now think about the song in the musical Annie. You know, Mister, we could use a man. Yeah. You know, a chicken in every pot. He forgot we didn't even have a pot. So constantly vilified. Now, there's another way they do it, too, using individual words. And probably the one that I detest the most is the word fair. I've gotten to the point where the word fair seldom comes out of my mouth because it has been so convoluted in the media. Fair is what the Declaration of Independence of our country said, that this document will guarantee that everyone will have fundamental fairness. And it didn't mean that we'd be economic equals. It didn't mean our incomes would be the same. It meant our opportunities would be the same. When I hear fair now, fair share, things like that, I just cringe. Living wage is a hot topic these days. Living wage people play on your emotions, empathy for the poor. What's a living wage in New York City? What's a living wage in Tupelo, Mississippi? Are they the same? No. What happens when you raise the minimum wage in the name of fairness? Sometimes people lose. It happened in Seattle. If you want to know just what a great idea it is to continue to raise the minimum wage, look at the city of St. Louis, who recently reduced their $10 minimum wage to $7.70 to allow people to make more money and have more jobs.
And why is that?
Because at $10, they were losing hours and they were losing jobs. So they reduced it. Now, this is not a Washington, D.C. cut, which is the next word. A cut in D.C. means it was going to go up by some amount, but it's going to go up by a little less than that. And that's a cut in D.C. $10 to $7.70 is a cut my way. One is less than the other. The other glaring example these days is socialism, and I think everybody's very much aware that socialism does not mean you're really good on social media, and by the way, nothing is free.
Yeah, just ask your buddies in Venezuela how that's going right now.
Yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous the way this language is misused these days. It breaks my heart. Don't know what to do about it except continue to complain and try to do things right. Well, this went by in something of a big hurry. Next week, we've got a lot of topics backed up. It'll be curious to see what happens when August comes. Will it buck the trend? But I don't want you scared, because the bottom line on the whole August discussion is that only 5 out of 8 were actually down. The other 3 out of 8 were up for the month. So don't be afraid of what's going on out there. Things are good. The economy's roaring. We'll have jobs numbers next week. See you then. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.